Welcome to the Life Over Coffee podcast, conversations for transformation.
The sex talk is a transitional time in a child's life, but long before you have the talk, your child will have a worldview. He will have a practice in place that will form the backdrop for how he will process what you're telling him during the sex talk. His home environment forms that worldview, and it develops the relational habits long before he learns about the most intimate aspects of male and female relationships. Now, he will also have another mentor as well, and that is social media. Probably he will have been on YouTube and other social media websites or platforms, and there will be there's information out there that you are all familiar with, and so there will be indoctrination in play. The home is one place where he will learn about sex and sexuality, and then the culture is the other. And more than likely, they will be competing with each other. And so you want to make sure that the relational habits between the husband and the wife, his parents, that they are as biblically as they can be. And when they are not, that we are exercising biblical repentance. Remember, we have the secret weapon. We are the only people in the world that can actually repent, because God grants repentance. And the Spirit of God works in the hearts of believers. Unregenerate people cannot repent. They can turn over new leaves. They can create New Year's resolutions, and they can make changes that may stay in place, may not. But long-term sustainable transformation is Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-given. And if we have not done well in our relationship between husband and wife, well, we can make those changes because of the doctrine of repentance. The reason that we would want to do that is because we are competing with our culture. There's no longer the day where there were three TV stations, one newspaper, and you rarely heard of anything going on outside of your community. Now your community is right in front of you, and so is the world. We are in communication overload, and most of the communication that comes into our minds is bad. And much of it is sexual. And our children have the weapons. They have the devices to be able to access this information in a split second. And so as we compete with the culture, we want to do all that we can possibly do to create something that is radically different from what they are learning from their mentors in the culture. Physical intimacy is part of a relationship experience, though it is not the totality of who two people are. It's like the icing on the cake, but it's not the cake. It is the tip of the iceberg, but not the iceberg. The whole cake and the entire iceberg are the couple's unique, full-time, uninterrupted relational adventures together. Imagine a child fed icing all of his life while never given the cake. He would grow into an icing-centered adult. The sex talk, isolated from an affectionate, relationship-centered home environment, creates self-indulgent, self-centered, sex-centered adults. The sex talk should not be in the middle of a relationship that connects a gospel-centered history with the sex talk should come in the middle of a relationship that connects a gospel-centered history with a gospel-centered future. A child does not need to hear the talk in a vacuum of technical terms that are disconnected from a God-loving relational experience with his family, specifically with his parents, as they interact with one another as husband and wife. Relational disconnectedness is how our culture thinks and talks about sex. You know this well. They are icing-centered, myopic hedonists who are wildly ignorant of the biblical purposes and pleasures of sex. That kind of worldview and practice did not happen by accident. They came into the world with Adamic, self-centered tendencies. Their parents did a poor job redirecting their Adamic trajectories. The sex talk should be one of many talks between a parent and a child within a familial construct, a culture, a God-centered culture that is God-loving. If you have been characterized by an other-centered life, marriage, parenting model, then your child will upload and process the talk from a biblically healthy experience, from a biblical framework. He will understand the sex talk that you're about to have with him. He will have biblically saturated ears to hear what you have to say because of the kind of person that you have been, because of the kind of marriage that you have modeled before him. Sex is wholesome. Sex is good. It is one of God's many gifts to humanity, which makes appropriate sexual discussions normal. The sex talk that you're going to have with your child is probably one of the most important conversations that you will ever have with him, other than, of course, his relationship with Christ. If you are giddy about sex talk, if you are inappropriate about sex talk, if you have unwholesome ideas about sex, then I would just appeal to you to find help before you try to walk your child through this transitional period. It is just too important. The conversation is too raw. The child will be somewhat defensive and nervous himself, and we do not want to export our insecurity or our crudeness or our inappropriate thoughts about sex to your child. We can't export uncomfortableness about sex. He needs a mature and wise understanding of love, as taught from the Word of God, by secure and uninhibited parents who have worked through their dysfunctions from the past. Now, I'm not assuming that you have dysfunction from the past, but I have been doing counseling for a minute or two, and I know that the majority of folks do. All you have to do is take a quick survey of some of your closest friends and ask them a few questions. How did you hear about the sex talk? For the majority of them, it will not be what I am sharing with you in this book, The Talk. It will not be some of the ideas that I'm communicating. To most people, it will not be that way. Most of them export to their children what was exported to them, and what was exported to them was anything but a bibliocentric view of sex and sexuality. Sex should be communicated as a normal gift from God. Speak openly, speak honestly about sexuality to your child. Let him hear your faith in God, your confidence, not insecurity, not uncomfortableness. Let him hear the goodness of the Lord and how the goodness of the Lord, what he intends for his children through sexual, intimate, biblical relationships. Your child will learn from you. He is your student. Lead him. Speak the truth to him. Children love truth and are fully capable of embracing and responding to the truth, even the deeper aspects of life. Children are more mature than we think they are. Oh, yeah, they act silly. They do dumb things, of course. But when it becomes time to be serious, and if you have a serious conversation with them, you will find that they have serious thoughts, that they are sober-minded, that they're thinking things behind their eyeballs that many times doesn't play out in the living room or in the backyard. Also, children want to be led. And their security will mature in proportion to the parameters that you use to guide them. And so leading them with courage, with grace, with clarity, these things are essential. Parents need a healthy and biblical understanding of sex. The parents are not right. If the parents are not right in their hearts and in their minds about sex, the children will know it. They have ingrown baloney detectors. What you say to them will not pass the smell test, and it will make it a challenge to communicate God's perspective to their child. And so I would encourage you that if you are at that place of haven't worked through any kind of dysfunction that you have about sex and sexuality, that you get the help that you need, and you do that immediately. Your child needs that. This is one of the great gifts that you can give to your children. In Hebrews 11:4, it says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral. God will judge the adulteress." Part of the talk will be negative. It has to be. If the sex talk is going to be comprehensive, then some sexual practices are sinful that people engage in, like sexual activity outside the marriage bed, pornography, the gay lifestyle. We know these things. And so therefore, when you talk to your children, you have to have a full spectrum of conversation, which includes some of the negative aspects of sex and sexuality. You will be communicating with your child about what is right, what is wrong about sex, which means sexual sin is a prominent piece of the talk. For him to understand the sinful side of sex, he will need to have a right understanding of the doctrine of sin, hermeneology. In other words, the talk won't be the only time he hears about the good and bad way of doing things. He should already understand sin in other areas other than sex and sexuality. He should already know how to respond to sin. He should have a foundational understanding and practice of hermeneology because he is a sinner, and so is his parents. And you've had 10 or 12 years to be able to teach him through orthodoxy, teaching about sin, sinfulness, transgressions, and also through orthopraxy, your practice, how you have behaved, and how you have implemented the doctrine of repentance and have received forgiveness from your sins. This perspective means you should have been teaching him about our mutual fallenness and God's redemptive measures early in his life. The warfare between dark and light, sin and grace, should be part of our daily conversations long before we have the sex talk. One of the most effective ways to communicate your seriousness about sin and grace is through personal confession, practical application, and biblical reconciliation. Again, I'm talking about the doctrine of repentance. And if you have been living it out, then he has a complete view of what sin is, the good, the dark, the good and the bad of it, the dark and the light of it. Your example of openness and honesty about your failures is the most effective means of motivating him to be honest and open about his failures and his thoughts about sex and sexual confusion. He will upload the power of your sex talk with how you have transparently lived your life in front of your child. If you haven't been transparent, and I'm talking about appropriate, biblically appropriate transparency, which includes self-control and discretion, knowing that each child is different, their maturity levels are at different places. But if you have been appropriately transparent before your child, then you're leading them in transparency, opening the door for your child to be transparent to you, especially when you have the sex talk, as you do want to know what he thinks about these things, what he knows about these things, and the things that he has heard. Your child should not hear about the dangers of sin, hermeneology, the doctrine of hermeneology, and the gift of grace for the first time during the sex talk, and that's my point here. He should have a healthy view of the doctrine of sin and grace by observing your sinful failures and your grace-empowered applications in your life. One of the marriage goals for your child is when he is old enough to read Ephesians 5:25 and following. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, etc. And when he hears that text read, maybe in a Sunday school class or a church meeting, for the first time, and I mean the first time in the sense that it's like, oh, I understand the meaning of this passage. I think I see what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 5. Well, when he hears it for the first time, where it is an aha moment, your goal for your child is to say something like this. Oh, I know what that passage means. This is how my dad and mom live all the time. End quote. To be clear, when your children first learn the application of Ephesians 5:25, they will not have to be told what it means. They will already know because of your example. May your marriage be an active, living, practically powerful display of what it means for Christ to love his church to the point that your children intuitively understand Ephesians 5:25 long before they ever exegete that passage. Christ and the church practically lived out in your marriage is one of the most important backdrops that you can give your child when it comes to having the sex talk. Imagine a dad or imagine a mom having the sex talk with their son or their daughter, and their marriage has been marred and characterized by anger, criticalness, vindictiveness, pettiness. What a confusing picture of what physical intimacy between two humans is supposed to be like. Physical intimacy born out of selfishness rather than an event that flows from the fabric of a God-centered relationship and lifestyle is not the kind of marriage training that a child needs. Sex is not a standalone event. Sex is a lifestyle. Suppose dad and mom regularly encourage each other and regularly repent to each other. They live an ongoing restorative relationship. If so, there will be a higher than average chance that their children will have a biblical understanding of sex and marriage. When you come time to tell this child about biblical intimacy, they have a totally different backdrop, and biblical intimacy will sound a lot different to this child. As you already know, it's an uphill battle. The promiscuousness, the inclinations of our culture, and what kids learn from social media, it will make your bibliocentric example a breath of fresh air in a world that is antagonistic to the beauty, the wonder, and the holiness of sex. If there is holiness in the marriage, it will be easy for the child to connect sexual intimacy as a holy event sanctioned by God. The number one counseling problem in most marriages is the passive male, the passive husband. The fall of Adam, the fall of humanity, and the indoctrination of our egalitarian feministic culture have nearly and fully emasculated the male to the point to where he does not want to lead his family, or he's afraid to lead his family, or he's not encouraged to lead his family. He's not expected to lead his family. He's not trained to lead his family. And women are more than willing to take over. The Bible assumes biblical male leadership from the husband. If the husband is leading properly, he will provide a beautiful marital picture of Christ in the church that will bring biblical clarity to a child who lives in a sexually dysfunctional universe. It is less challenging for a boy to learn how to lead sexually when his dad is the leader of the home. I don't mean any offense here, not at all. But a wife cannot teach a boy how to be a man. A mother cannot teach a boy how to lead. That's like a cow trying to teach a bull how to be a bull. It takes a bull to know one another. The husband must lead his wife through the process of preparing for the talk with their child. Now, whether the child is male or female, the man needs the lead. This number one counseling problem in marriages is the passive male. It is so much number one that I actually don't know what number two is. Men need to lead. And so if the mother is having the sex talk with the daughter, the dad needs the lead. It takes two different people, male and female, to engage in biblical sex. And it takes a male and female to prepare to engage their children in the sex talk. The husband models leadership, the same leadership he wants his son to exhibit as a husband. The daughter also learns from her dad what biblical leadership looks like in the home as he leads his wife, as he leads her mother. The daughter experiences biblical leadership through his example. There is no better template for a boy or a girl to learn what biblical leadership is than from their father. Dad, do not delegate the preparation for the sex talk to your wife exclusively. Obviously, she will be doing things, and I will talk about the particularities of that. But you both play an integral part in preparing your child for a biblical understanding of sexuality. Do it together. When the boy is old enough to marry, he will have a wonderful template for biblical masculinity. The dad's leadership will also be invaluable when it comes time for his daughter to marry. She will have a picture of what biblical leadership looks like in the home. The culture will not slow down. The culture will not wait for you to get your sexual life and message together for your child. Don't lament how things are. Expect it while being proactive in communicating your life and your message to your child. Your intentionality will put you out in front of your children as you turn their hearts and their minds toward biblical things while slowing down cultural encroachments. The world will run over you and your child, and you know this. Show your child a better way. Your example is the better way. In Ephesians 5:1, it says, "As beloved children, imitate God." 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow me as I follow Christ." If your example is radically different from the culture's sex message, then it will be easy for your child to discern right from wrong. Your language, your attitude, your lifestyle, your insight, your wisdom, your habits are only marginally different from what our culture offers. Well, if that's true, and then when it comes time to have the sex talk with your child, the information that you offer will be murky, it will be confusing, and possibly lost on them, because there is really no difference between you and the culture, if that is true. And so be proactive, be alert, be diligent, be sensible, be mature, be biblical about sex and sexuality. Now, in my book, The Talk, I discuss all things about having the sex talk with your children, including the introduction, which speaks to how the sex talk begins in the toddler years, as I've been making this case over and again, that sex in the bedroom is about a relationship outside of the bedroom. And so you want that context, that relational context, to be the foundation upon which you have that sexual discussion. Now, in the last chapter of my book, The Talk, by the way, it's free. It's in our store at lifeovercoffee.com. And I want you and 1,000 of your friends to have this book. So go over there and get it. But in the last chapter, the one prior to this one, I discussed some of the basics for having the sex talk with your child, an overview of sorts. And I hope that many new parents would read that chapter and read all the previous ones as well and begin thinking about how to talk to their child. It will come sooner than you think, and rigorous biblical groundwork is absolutely essential. In this chapter, I provided more details about what your home life should be. And I hope to expand parents' thinking. The talk is not just about sex, but about a life lived before God, a life lived before your spouse, a life lived before your child. You could classify the prior chapters as parental preparation for the sex talk. They form the backdrop for having the actual sex talk with your child. Now, in the next chapter, I will discuss some of the practical pointers for going on the retreat with your child. I will introduce some core materials that you need, ones that we use. It's not the only materials out there, but merely suggestive, that will help you navigate this transitional time with your family. As you have read this foundational content or listened to it by podcast or video, you may have realized your home is not as God-centered as it needs to be. Maybe you have perceived how the talk will lose some of its biblical force, and we need to change how we're doing life together because our walk is inconsistent with God. Now, if that is the case, then I want to suggest two things. Number one, failure in the family dynamic does not mean you're disqualified from walking your child through the sex talk. And so don't overcorrect the problem by self-censoring yourself. You can repent of your failures. You can receive God's and your child's forgiveness. Repentance can reconcile your past and it can change your future. And I know fully well that many people will be listening to this, and it's like, well, our home is just not that way. It's not characterized by warmth and kindness and gentleness. We don't even repent to each other. We have mounds and mounds of sin in our living room, and we haven't dealt with it. We have put it under the rug, and our rug is lumpy to where you can't even walk across the living room. Many homes are like this, and I do understand. But when it comes time to the sex talk, this is not the time to farm it out. It's not the time to kick the can down the road and say, Well, they'll figure it out somehow. Somebody will teach them. Don't let your failure, or don't add to your failure by not having this talk with your child. And so if there is a failed family dynamic, as you reflect upon how your relationship has been between husband and wife and within the familial culture, then begin working out repentance. At our website at Life Over Coffee, you could type in the word Doctrine of Repentance, and you'll find a lot of resources that will teach you how to repent. The second thing that I want to say is, as you walk out repentance, prepare to take your child through this critical season in their life. If these ideas are new and if they are overwhelming to you, then find someone in your church that you can come alongside of. They can come alongside you. Maybe give this book to them. Let them know that this free digital download at lifeovercoffee.com, they can get it. You can have as many copies as you want. And then read it together and go through it. And just make notes of where you need to repent and begin walking through the doctrine of repentance, and have that person who is walking with you. And if you're talking to someone in your church, if you are a mom, then I would appeal to you to get someone, another female, someone of the same gender. If you are a guy and you need to make some changes in your marriage, in your family, then have another guy to come alongside you to help you to walk through that. Best case scenario is for husbands and wives to be mature enough to talk about these things, but I know that that's not always true because of the disjointedness and the confusion, the anger, the frustration, the unforgiveness that is in a marriage, that at this point, they're 10, 11, 12 years in, and it's time to have the sex talk with the first child, but they have more than a decade of dysfunction sown into the family, and so they just can't, or maybe more accurately stated, they won't come together in mutual repentance and working these things out. I would appeal to you to get the help that you need so that you can straighten out your marriage. Teaching children about sex is one of the most important conversations that you will ever have, and you want that conversation to be in the backdrop of a bibliocentric relationship between a husband and a wife. If it's not, you can change. If your spouse is not willing to change, then I would encourage you, whatever is dependent upon you, do everything that you can to be right with God and to be right with your spouse. Give your child the best shot at understanding what you are about to share with him or her, even if it will not be as perfect as you desire it to be. Please go to lifeovercoffee.com and get this free book. It's titled The Talk. There are 8 chapters altogether that walk through the process. The last chapter, which I will do, is practical instructions for the sex talk. This is where I will give you core material. I will talk about the retreat. I'll talk about journaling. I'll talk about specific conversations that you will have with your child. If you read up to this point, then you have all the foundational material that you need, though there may be some changes that you need to make at this juncture. Go ahead and be about making those changes. And then go get this book, The Talk, download it. For those of you who do the work of discipleship, I would just appeal to you to download as many copies as you want. Start a small group of parents with parents who are with the child, or parents who are, or maybe they're not with the child, but they're getting ready to start a family, or those that have young children. This would be an excellent book to work through, because at the end of each chapter, I have call to action questions that they can respond to, and it would be a stimulating time for these couples to work through this mutually together. And of course, they can spur one another on, because there will be some things that they will recognize in their life and imagine that they need to change. And just imagine how preventative that would be to be on the front end and have an excellent resource that you can work through and be able to make those changes before the babies are born or while the babies are toddlers. And you can begin making these changes so that when you come up to that place of having the sex talk, you won't be parachuting in some aberrant conversation, but it will be contextualized in a family of love. And for those of you who are not there, or maybe as some people listen to this and it's like, well, we have missed this by a mile and our children are no longer in the home. Well, there's 2 things that you could do. You can go to them and seek to reconcile whatever needs to be reconciled, and then give them this book as they start their families. It's like, don't make our mistakes. It's an honest thing to say, and they will respect you for your transparency. Sometimes we do have to say to our children, do not do as I have done. In fact, we probably should always say that to our children or have said that to our children because none of us are perfect. Therefore, we will make mistakes and they will see it. And if we're honest about that, saying, do not do as I have done, and here is a better way, would be a tremendous kindness from you to them. For those of you who invest in our ministry, if you're able to do that, please do. Would you help us to keep our resources free? We need more churches supporting us on a monthly and annual basis, as well as individuals who are able to do that. We're going to continue to give our resources away. It is our joy to do so because we're reaching so many people by the mercy and kindness of God. But we also know that we can only do that because of the generosity of our supporting community. And so if you're able to invest in Life Over Coffee, please go to our website to do that or contact us and let us know. And we would love to talk to you so that you can join us in this gospel adventure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Learn more and get access to other resources at lifeovercoffee.com.